And look, we'll look at verse 18 tonight. Look at verse 18. Y'all can smile a little bit. It's okay. And look at some of you. You look like, I know it's dreary outside and it's kind of cold, but it's okay. Listen, I'm excited. I'm scared to death, but I'm excited. I don't know if you can put those two together, but man. Verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, that she found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the night you've given us, Lord, of safety getting to church. And Lord, I pray that you'd just use me tonight, use my words, Lord. Lord, I want to be a blessing tonight as I talk to the people, Lord. And just, Lord, if someone here is not saved, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you tonight. Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Lord, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Told my wife, I said, man, I'd rather have an auditorium full of kids than the teenager. She goes, just don't worry about it. It'll be okay. I said, yeah, I'm going to get up there. I'm going to say, we're going to play the game Brother John Says. We're going to play Brother John Says. You know, we play that game up there. We'll get up and play the clapping game. And just, she goes, don't do that. I said, okay, I won't. But it's good to have my parents still with me tonight. And they come down south to get away from the cold. And I think they finally caught up to them. And it's good to have them. My dad's birthday today. And he turned 59 today. So that's exciting. Not really, but it sounds good. You know, Christmas is right around the corner. So I got to be good there. And I appreciate you all that trust me to lead your kids and the children's ministry, and you leave them up there and for an hour and 15 minutes and 20 minutes sometimes, and I appreciate that. And when they come home and say, Brother John says, you know, don't worry about that, okay? I've had some people say, yeah, they come home, Brother John says we have to do this. We have to do this. I tell them that obey your parents, okay? That listen to your parents, what they say. And I appreciate the people that are helping me with Master Club tonight and Master Men and over there in the gym, you know, that I'm able to even to slip out of there tonight. I'm usually over there. And they're able just to keep running, keep going. And Brother Tyler Bunch over there, and Brother Kevin running the boys tonight. And I appreciate that. And each and every one that works every week with that. And I appreciate that. This time of year, many times, you know, we celebrate Christmas. And we take this time, and you're going out, and you're buying a gift for this person or that person, and boy, you can't wait for Christmas, and you're excited about Christmas, I don't know, I enjoy Christmas more. I guess maybe it's just being a parent, the fact that you get to see the faces on your child's face, and when they open up that gift and they're excited, at least you hope they're excited. Underwear again, Mom? Yeah, thank you. You know, and the socks, are you kidding me? I love it, yes. But can you look back just a few years ago, maybe more than just a few years ago, when you woke up and you were a child, maybe 12 years old, 10 years old, and boy, you remember that one gift that you remember receiving, that gift that you know, you just stop for a second, okay? Forget about what's going on tomorrow. Forget about what's going on after the choir practice that we have to be a part of, and forget about that for right now, and just think about a few years ago, you opened up that gift that, man, this is awesome. This is exactly what I wanted. I look back at my life, and I think of a time that we had Christmas in Vancouver, Washington. I think my grandparents were living down that way for a few years, and we went down there, took everything with us, and I remember opening up the package and opening it up, and it was a Seattle Seahawks jacket. man, that was awesome. Man, I put that on and it didn't fit. And man, but it was awesome. It was great. I remember one year, open up some presents and we opened them up. Man, it's a long box, you know, about like this long, you know, and about that thick, you know, and about that wide. And all the men are like, okay, we know what this is. And you open that thing up and it's my first 12-gauge shotgun. And H&R 12-gauge single shot, you know. And I remember the next day or the next couple days, Dad said, all right, let's go shoot that thing. And he cut off the stock for me so it fit right there on my shoulder. And I'm like, okay, this is exciting. Let's go. And so we drove up there on the little hill that we had there. And Dad got a coffee can and put it out there on a post. And he goes, all right, this is what you're going to do. And he's sitting in the truck there. And he said, you're going to pretend like the bird is flying, the duck is flying, the pheasant's flying this way. And as soon as you come to that can, boom, you pull that trigger. I'm like, all right. And so I pull that hammer back on that H&R. And I'm, all right, here we go. Boom. Oh, my soul. You're talking about lighting up a shoulder. I'm like, Dad, do I have to shoot it again? He said, shoot it again, son. And I was like, oh, man, after about five shots, I was in tears. Dad, please, please. Needless to say, he went back to Griggs and bought a 20-gauge shotgun, and I shot that for a while. And I remember another gift that I received, and we couldn't get up and just run into the living room there where the tree was at. We couldn't just run in. We had to wait, and you know, we try to wake up mom, then we try to wake up dad. They're like, go wake up sister. So you go try to wake up one sister and wake her up, and then go wake up the other sister. So you go wake up the other sister while you're waking up them. The other one goes back to sleep, and you're trying to wake them all up and get them. Finally, you go in there, and there was a waterbed underneath the tree. Well, it wasn't underneath the tree. It was next to the tree because it probably wouldn't fit, but it was next to it. And man, how exciting that was. How exciting to get these awesome gifts at Christmas time. You know, we take this time of year and you consider what it means, what Christmas means to God. What Christmas means to God. And I guess the title of this is it would be the greatest gift that we could ever receive. The greatest gift. I love this time of year, but we take this time of year and we think about Jesus coming to earth. And we think about this, but you think about what about God when he thinks about this time of year? You ever stopped and thought about that? What does God think? Can you imagine taking someone you love like a brother or I have a hard time saying this, but a sister, okay, a sister or your mom or your dad, and taking their heart, a good, healthy heart, taking it out of them and implanting it and putting it into somebody who is vile, a murderer, somebody that has hurt somebody, somebody that doesn't deserve to live, and taking a good, healthy heart and putting that into them so they can live. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine taking the perfectly heart of someone that you loved and put it into somebody like Adolf Hitler? Can't imagine that. Jeffrey Dahmer. I can't imagine that. But so let's consider about what Christmas means to God. Number one, God gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. And we know John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Only begotten son. You know what? I think unless you're a parent, you probably really do not understand that totally. Unless you're a parent, I think it took me years until I believe I was about 26, 27 years old, and I'm knocking on the door and inviting people to church, and I'm giving the plan of salvation to somebody, and I told them that they're a sinner, and I told them that the penalty for your sin is to die and go to hell forever and ever, and I told them that, but God commendeth his love toward us, and as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And at this time, my son was probably 2 or 3 weeks years old. And I'm thinking, I can't imagine sending my son for a filthy, rotten sinner like me. Can you imagine that? My only son? Man, he's only this big, but God loved us so much that he sent his only son for us. That's a lot of love. Can you and I are the object of enormous love. God gave his son all because he loves you. All because he loves me. Boy, unconditionally, I know me. I know me, and God loves me regardless. And for years, and I messed up several times in the fact that people might lie to me. People might do something wrong to me. And you know, you just write them off. Man, why do you do that? I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I don't want that. I don't want it. But then I realized, wait a minute. God loves me in spite of my sin. God loves me regardless of what I do. God sent his son for me and my sin. And I know me, and God loves me unconditionally. I think I can love that person that has done me wrong. I think I can love that person. I can pray for them. Number one, God gave his only begotten son out of love. Number two, God gave the very best he had. The very best. Before Jesus died for our sin, it was required that people make animal sacrifices for their sin. These animal sacrifices had to be without blemish. They had to be the very best that people had. They couldn't offer a sick lamb. It had to be a lamb without blemish. For several years, I think about 10 years, I was in 4-H and I raised sheep. I raised sheep, and after the 10 years, I believe we had 22 ewes and a ram. So every February, March time, we would have lambs, and they would be born about that time, and we'd get them all together. And most of the sheep would have two lambs. Every once in a while, we'd have one that had three. If it had one lamb, it usually became lamb chops. And, because we wanted sheep that produced. So we'd get them all there, and we would get weaned. We'd gather them all together in a pen, and we'd start looking at them and check them out. We looked for the ones that were tall, and looked for the ones that were and long in length and were thick. And we would feel on them, and we would touch them, because we were looking for the best. And then we'd separate. Maybe we'd have 20 lambs there, and we would separate. If I was in 4-H just myself, we'd separate maybe three. And if my sisters were in 4-H also, we'd separate a couple for each of us, and we'd separate them there, and we would sell the rest of them. Then we'd watch them, and we'd give them grain, and we would put a lot of, sometimes we would we're getting ready for the fair, and sometimes we'd have water on this side. We'd take a railroad tie, put it in the middle, and we put the grain on this side with a little bit of salt in it, and so, you know, they'd have to jump over to make them stronger. And as the summer would go by, and we'd watch them, and we'd fill on them and make sure, because we wanted the very, very best. And we wanted to get first prize at fair. We wanted to get the best at fair. Well, you know what? God gave us his very best. His very best. God didn't send Adam. God didn't send Moses for us. God didn't send Elijah for us. God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, the sinless, blameless Lamb of God. Listen, we got to get excited about that. That's exciting. That is exciting. The greatest gift that we could ever receive. Number three, God gave a sufficient gift. A sufficient gift. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 9. The Bible says in verse 9, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Under the law, the people had to continually make sacrifices. But when God gave us his sacrifice, it was sufficient. It was sufficient enough. We do not have to make animal sacrifices anymore for our sin. Jesus' death, blood, burial, and resurrection was sufficient enough sacrifice for our sin. Jesus will never have to die on the cross again for our sins, because Jesus was God's sacrifice. Number four, God gave Jesus knowing what would be done at Calvary. Can you imagine? Okay, you're going to give your son. You're going to give your daughter. Can you imagine giving your son, giving your child, knowing what was going to happen to them? I don't know that I could do that. I have three boys, and I don't even know if I could just say, okay, you have to pick one. I don't know that I could do that. But God knew what was going to happen to him. They knew. He knew that they were going to put a crown of thorns on his head. They knew they were going to spit on him. He knew that they were going to pluck his beard. They knew that they were going to put a spear in his side. They knew that they were going to beat him. He knew that when he hung on the cross that he was going to be unrecognizable as a man. But he did that because he loved you. He did that because he loved me. God knew that Jesus would be rejected, yet he gave Jesus to die for our sins because he loves us. God watched from heaven as his son's beard was plucked from his face by the Roman soldiers, but he did that because he loved us. Number five, God gave his son knowing what he would behold for eternity. What he would behold for eternity. After Jesus had offered was a sacrifice for our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. After he died and he ascended to heaven, he sat down on the right hand of God. And can you imagine sitting there and God looking over and seeing the scars, knowing for eternity what has happened? And every day looking at him. Several years ago, my youngest one, Justin. We were at the house and we had a big deck on the front of it, and it stood about this high off the ground. And we wanted to put some type of a railing up there, and we bought those little 3-foot fence that we thought might work, and we had Bryce on one side holding up the fence, and I put Tyler and Justin on the other side holding the fence. You know, the front door was here, and you come down, and we're going to build some nice steps coming down, and put a nice railing right there, and so my wife and I, we got him. Okay, you hold him now, hold him, and Justin was probably just a year old, and maybe a year and a half, so we backed up away from the house, and you know, we're looking at it, and we're like, okay, what do you think, you know, like that, and about that time, it was slow motion. He said, you know, don't let go, don't let go. Well, one of the boys on this side had let go, and one did not. Justin did not let go. And if you know those boards, they're made out of like a 2x3 railing that goes aside. They got the little pickets that are about 3 foot tall. And when he fell, the fence fell flat like this, and onto the ground, he fell face first, and I can picture it to this day when his face hit first. And man, I thought his neck was going to be broken with it because, you know, just like that, and he fell over. But it split his lip right here. You know, that's a scar. That's something that I see every day. I was thinking last night, I was like, man, he's getting tall. I was just looking at him, and then you know what I noticed? The scar. But you see it every day. Imagine God looking at Jesus every day on the right hand of God, and he sees those scars. And he did that for you. He did that for you, the greatest gift that you could ever receive. And how do we treat him? How do we treat him? God beholds a sacrifice that was made for our sins. When a sinner asks for God's forgiveness and for eternal life, God beholds a sacrifice that was made for the sinner's salvation. Number six, God gave a very precious gift knowing that some would reject it. Some would reject it. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gave the most precious gift, costly gift of all in giving his only begotten son, but not everyone will receive it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you went out, you went shopping, you're Christmas shopping, and you got a brand new car for somebody knowing that they were going to tear it up? Knowing that they were going to tear it up. Knowing that they were going to reject it. Knowing that they didn't want anything to do with it. That you're going to present that gift. You were going to give it to them knowing that they were going to reject it. You know, God knew that people were going to reject him. God knew that people were going to reject his only son. Yet he said, I'm giving my only son. Many scoff at his name, at the name of Christ in our society today, but they will take time to celebrate Christmas so they can give and receive material things. As you take the time and receive the gifts, remember that Christmas, what Christmas means to God. He gave the most precious gift of all. He gave us Jesus. The greatest gift that you could ever receive, the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive is Jesus Christ. And I hope that you've received him. I hope that you've received it. And listen, if you have received him, boy, you ought to be excited about the fact that you have received the greatest gift and that we would want to share that with other people. We'd want to tell other people about that. Boy, every chance we get to pass out a track and tell people about the greatest gift that you received, I don't know about you, but when I've received gifts, I'm excited about it. I can't wait to tell my wife, man, listen, look what I got. I sent her a picture. There was something on my desk on Monday morning. I came up there to my desk, and there was a pack of Diet Coke and some Twix sitting up there. And I took a picture of it, sent it to my wife. I said, look at this. Isn't this exciting? It's just Diet Coke and Twix. It's probably going to kill me. But we've received the greatest gift, but we're afraid to tell people about it. Boy, we'll get something, and we'll get a new gun. That's exciting, too. I'm excited about that. But hey, listen, we won't tell people about Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that you've ever received. God gave his very precious gift knowing that some would reject it. Some would not want anything to do with it. Have you rejected or received God's gift of salvation? Most everybody in here, boy, you've received the greatest gift. Oh, you're here. You're faithful to church. You're on Wednesday night. It's raining. It's cold. You've received that gift. Listen, if you haven't received that gift, boy, why wait? Why wait? I've talked to people and they say, oh, not right now. I can't do that right now. I'm like, and what if tonight you're in a car accident? You will die and go to hell forever and ever and ever. Why wait? Receive the greatest gift. As we celebrate Christmas, let's remember the importance of sharing the gospel with others so they can have the opportunity to receive God's gift. Almost all of us know somebody that's not saved. Almost all, each and every one of us, maybe it's a grandparent, maybe it's an aunt and uncle, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a coworker. Man, you can tell them about Christ. You can tell them about Jesus Christ. You can tell them, listen, the greatest gift. That's why we take time to celebrate Christmas. Let them know. As we purchase gifts to give our loved ones and anticipate what we might receive, let's remember to give special thanks to the work of the gospel. Man, thank the Lord. Thank God every day. Boy, we sit down. When we open presents at our house, we'll sit down and we'll say, listen, the reason we celebrate Christmas is because God gave his only son to us. To us. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I don't. I know me. And if you were honest, you would say you don't either. But most of us, we've received that greatest gift. Listen, let's pass that on. Let's pass it on. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Heard the message tonight. Miss Mary's going to come play the altar open. Let's all stand together. As Miss Mary begins to play, let's all stand together. If you've never received